After a long moment, silent of everything but his labored breathing, she relaxed the pressure of her teeth, but didn't release his arm from her grip. She tilted her head a bit.
Why?
Her eyes peered up at him.
Why do you wish to help me?
Richard stared down into her dark eyes. He took a chance and removed his hand from the sword. He brought his hand up and touched his fingers to the cold metal collar around his neck.
I too am a prisoner. I too know what it is to be held by a collar. I don't like collars. Though I can't free myself in this way, I can try to free you.
Her ferocious grip on his arm relaxed. She cocked her head to the side as she frowned up at him.
But you are a magic man.
That's why I was taken prisoner. The woman I'm with is taking me to a place called the Palace of the Prophets. She says the magic will kill me if I don't go to this place.
You are with one of the witches? From the big stone witch house?
She is not a witch, but one with magic, too. She put this collar on me to make me go with her.
Duchalu's eyes flicked over the collar around his neck.
If you let me go, the Majin Dai will not allow you to go through their land to the big stone house.
Richard gave her a little smile.
I was hoping that if I helped you get back to your people, you would permit us to pass through your land, and maybe that you would guide us so that we might reach the palace.
A sly smile spread on her lips. We could kill the witch.
Richard shook his head. I don't kill people unless I'm forced to. It would not help anyway. I must go to the palace to get my collar off. If I don't go there, I will die.
Duchailu looked away from his gaze. Richard waited while she glanced around her prison. I do not know if you speak the truth or if you mean to cut my throat.
She gently rubbed his arm where she had bitten him.
But if you kill me, I was to be killed anyway and had no chance, and at least I will not be mounted anymore by those dogs. If you tell the truth, then I will be free. But we must still escape. We are still in the land of the Majin Dai.
Richard winked.
I have a plan. At least we can try.
She frowned at him.
You could do this thing to me, and they would be happy, and you could go to the palace. You would be safe.
Are you not afraid they will kill you?
Richard nodded.
But I am more afraid to live the rest of my life seeing in my mind your pretty eyes and wishing I had helped you.
She gave him a sidelong glance. Maybe you are a magic man, but you are not a smart man. A smart man would want to be safe.
I am the Seeker.
What is this, the Seeker?
It's a long story, but I guess it means I do my best to see the truth prevail, to see right done. This sword has magic and it helps me in my quest. It's called the Sword of Truth.
She let out a long breath and finally laid her head back in his lap.
Try then, or kill me.
I was dead anyway.
Richard gave her filthy, bare back a pat of reassurance.
Hold still.
He reached under her neck and wrapped his fingers around the collar, holding it tight. With his other hand, the hand on the hilt, the hand through which the magic was coursing into him, he gave a mighty heave. With a loud crack, the iron shattered. Hot shards of metal ricocheted off the walls. One large piece spun like a top in the dirt, finally wobbling and falling over.
Silence settled over them. He held his breath, hoping none of the metal fragments had cut her throat.
Duchailu sat up. Her eyes wide, she felt her neck. Finding no injury, she broke into a wide grin.
It is off! You got the collar off and my head is still attached!
Richard feigned a touch of indignation.
I told you I would.
Now, we must get away from here. Come on!
He led her back through the rooms the way he had come in. When he reached the next-to-last room from where the men waited, he held a finger to his lips and told her to be quiet and wait for him to come back for her.
She folded her arms under her bare breasts.
Why? I will go with you. You said you would not leave me here.
Richard let out an exasperated breath.
I'm going to get you some clothes. We can't leave with you.
With a gesture, he indicated her bare condition. She unfolded her arms and looked down at herself.
Why? What is wrong with me? I am not a bad shape to look upon. Many men have told me,
What is it with you people?
He whispered heatedly. I have seen more naked people since I left my homeland last autumn than in the whole of my life, and not a one of you seems the least little bit...
She grinned. Your face is red.
Richard growled through gritted teeth.
Wait here.
Smirking, she folded her arms again.
I will wait.
In the outer room, the four men jumped to their feet when Richard came through the carpet-covered opening. He didn't give them any time to ask questions. Where are the woman's clothes? Confused, they glanced at one another.
Her clothes? Why do you want...
Richard took an aggressive stride toward the man.
Who are you to question the spirits? Do as they say. Get me her clothes.
All four flinched back. They stared at him briefly and then went to the low chests. They set the lamps aside and opened the lids, rummaging through the chests, tossing clothes aside.
Here, I found them,
one of them said. He held up a garment that looked to be finely woven flax. Different colored strips hung in rows from the light brown fabric.
This is hers.
He held up a buckskin belt.
And this, too.
Richard snatched them from the man's fist.
You will wait here.
He grabbed up a scrap of cloth the men had thrown on the floor as they had searched for the dress. He went back through the opening before there was time for any questions. Duchailu waited, her arms still folded. When she saw what he held in his hands, she gasped. She clutched the dress to her breast. Tears filled her dark eyes.
My prayer dress.
She threw her arms around his neck and, raising up on her tiptoes, started kissing him all over his face. Richard mashed her mass of black hair flat against the sides of her head as he pushed her away.
All right, put it on. Hurry.
Grinning at him, she pulled the dress over her head, poking her arms through the long sleeves. Up the outside of each arm and across the shoulders was a row of little strips of different colored cloth. Each was knotted on through a small hole beneath a corded band. The dress came to just below her knees. As she tied the belt at her waist, Richard noticed the blood still running down to her foot from where the men had stabbed her in the thigh. He dropped to one knee before her and motioned with his hands.
Lift it up. Lift up your dress.
Duchailu looked down at him. She lifted an eyebrow.
I have just covered myself, and now you wish me to uncover?
Richard pursed his lips. He waved the strip of cloth at her.
You are bleeding. I need to put this around the wound.
Giggling, she raised her skirt and held her leg out, rotating it from side to side, displaying it in a teasing manner. Richard quickly wrapped the cloth around her thigh, over the gash, and jerked the knot tight. She yelped with pain. He thought it served her right, but apologized anyway. Taking her by the hand, he pulled her through the remaining rooms. As he passed through the last, he growled at the four men to stay where they were. Still holding Duchailu's hand tight, he led her back down the alleyway and streets to the open square. He saw the heads of the three horses sticking up above the sea of shiny, bald heads. He plowed his way through the throng toward the horses. Chapter 43. Although his sword sat in its scabbard, he was already drawing its magic. Rage surged into him. He summoned it ever onward, letting his barriers fall before its advance. He was entering a silent world all his own, a world of grim committal to what he was, bringer of death. Sister Verna paled when she saw him pulling Duchailu after, becoming even paler when she saw his demeanor. Without a word to her, Richard snatched his bow off the side of his saddle. He grunted with the effort of swiftly stretching the bowstring to the bow. He yanked two steel-bladed arrows from the quiver hanging from Bonnie's saddle. His chest heaved with wrath. The crowd had all turned toward him. Puzzled faces bobbed up as men behind jumped to get a view. The women in black all looked up in his direction. The Queen Mother watched. Sister Verna's face was by now bright red.
Richard, what do you think?
Richard shoved her back.
Be quiet.
Bow and arrows in hand, he leapt up onto his saddle. The mumbling fell silent. Richard directed himself to the Queen Mother.
I have spoken with the spirits.
The back of the Queen Mother's hand started sliding up the pole toward the bell's rope. That was all the sign he needed. She had been offered a chance. The irrevocable commitment had been made. He loosed the magic within himself. In one swift motion, Richard knocked an arrow. He drew string to cheek. He called the target. The arrow was away. The air hissed with the sound of the arrow's flight. The crowd gasped. Before the arrow reached the target, while the air still sizzled with its sound, Richard had the second arrow knocked and on target. With a twanging funk, the first arrow made a solid hit dead on where he intended it. The Queen Mother let out a clipped cry of surprise and pain. Penetrating the space between the two bones in her wrist, the arrow pinned her arm to the pole, preventing her hand from reaching the bell's rope. Her other hand started over toward the rope. The second arrow sat rock solid in the invisible notch in the air, on target, waiting.
Move toward the bell and the next arrow goes through your right eye.
The gaggle of women in black fell to their knees, wailing. The Queen Mother became still. Blood trickled down her arm. Inside, storms of anger thundered through him. Outside, he was stone.
You will hear what the spirits have commanded.
Slowly, the Queen Mother let her free hand drop to her side.
Speak their words, then.
Richard still held the bowstring to his cheek and had no intention of letting it relax. Though the arrow was aimed at one, his ire was directed at all. Magic burned through him at full fury. The force of rage pounded through his veins. In the past, it had always been focused on an enemy, someone specific. This was different. It was open-ended rage, rage at all those present, at everyone involved in human sacrifice. This was non-specific wrath. That made it worse. It drew more magic. Richard didn't know if it was the all-encompassing threat that drew more magic, or if it was because of all the practicing he had done with Sister Verna, enabling him to focus. But whatever the reason, he was calling forth more magic from the sword than he ever had before, more than he had known was there. The magic seethed with frightening power. The very air vibrated with it. The men about stepped back. The wailing women fell into a hush. The Queen Mother's face was white against the black of her dress. 1,000 people stood in silent terror of one.
The spirits wish no more sacrifices. It does not prove your devotion to them, only that you can kill. From now on, you must show your respect to the spirits by showing respect for the lives of the Baka Banmana. If you do not, the spirits will vent their wrath by destroying you. Take their threat to heart, or they will bring starvation and death to the Majendai.
He spoke to the men as they pressed forward.
If any of you makes a move against me or these two women, the Queen Mother dies.